A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
General Sergeant Gnarly Ermey here with important information for veterans. At 2,600 American job centers nationwide, veteran and transitioning military personnel can find help with career counseling, resumes, and job placement. You want more information, don't you? The Department of Labor offers a variety of programs to help our military heroes find good jobs or continue their education. What are you waiting for?
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our way of living, our quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit, into business development, and how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue on a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. And I am proud to be joined by Terry Rifkin. She's the president of the Dana Point 5th Marine Regiment Support Group. She's president of all that. And so she joins me now. First of all, Terry, thanks for taking time out of your day and spending a little bit with us here on All Marine Radio.
Hi, Mike. Glad to join you.
All right. We need to find out a little bit about you, all right, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Born and raised where?
I was actually raised in Pennsylvania. Went to undergraduate in northern New Jersey and then NYU Graduate School for social work, and then moved out to California, where I've actually worked as a psychotherapist for many years now.
Oh.
And about 10 years ago, started getting involved with our Marines at Camp Pendleton.
All right, so let me ask you a few questions about that.
Sure.
You grew up, what city in Pennsylvania?
I grew up 7 miles west of Philadelphia, a little town named Narberth on the main line.
All right, so you're a Philadelphia girl then. And then and where in northern New Jersey did you go to school?
I went to Hackensack, Teaneck, New Jersey.
All right, and so you
studied social work there.
All right, so how does social work get into your viewer as a young person? Is this something that moved you, or did somebody influence you?
Well, I always liked volunteering, and I always liked the idea of helping others, and service was something that was instilled in me from my family, my parents, and so I started out in social work and then moved into what I would more call psychiatric or clinical social work because I liked more the psychology of working with people and the systems they lived in, family, school, work, business beyond. So it kind of has mutated some over the years, but I still have the heart of a volunteer, and that's partly why I'm doing what I am today, though I have a psychotherapy practice full-time. I still am, it's important to me to help, whether it be in my service in Rotary, where I've been for 29 years, and also for the last 10 at the Dana Point 5th Marine Regiment Support Group, helping our Marines down at Camp Pendleton.
Talk to me about studying psychotherapy. Is that another way to help people? How does that fit into the mosaic of your life?
Well, it's helping people understand what are the obstacles in their life and helping them to remove them and find coping that helps move them ahead on the mental health continuum. It's fun to be part of someone's growth process that way. And I think anyone who seeks help and really wants to make their life better, it's a dynamic process, never boring. And it's an honor to be part of their life as they, as they take on challenges that are happening to them and be able to turn them around into some mastery of and to move beyond where they are in their stuckness. So I still love it after all these years. I still enjoy being part of the relational process that helps get them there. And it's kind of just at the hub of who I am, I think.
All right. Would you come back on one day, on a different day, when we can talk about that subject matter? Because it's something that we spend a fair amount of time discussing. That's great. That's great. So explain, how did you get involved with the 5th Marine Regiment Support Group down at Dana Point?
Sure. Okay. Well, actually, it started with my involvement in Rotary. Was a Rotarian for many years.
Right.
And we talked about getting more involved with Camp Pendleton since we were so close to the base. And what I learned was that Dana Point had adopted the 5th Marine Regiment, and therefore we had been adopted, the city adopted them in 2004, but we really weren't active. And then was asked to be part of the former incorporated LLC for the Dana Point 5th Marine Regiment Support Group. I started doing the support and outreach kind of events for the 5th Marine Regiment, which is a perfect fit with my social work background, working with the families and helping to fill in the gaps where the Marine Corps just would not provide for morale-building kinds of things. hellos, farewells, goodbyes, you know, when they come go to war, you know, goodie boxes when they're deployed, Christmas parties, family, you know, taking care of the families when service members are overseas. So it just kind of catapulted from there. So that was 10 years ago doing the support and outreach, and our organization has tremendously grown. And 3 years ago became the president. And we've grown to an organization of over 350 volunteers, all volunteers, zero salaries. And, of course, the good part about that is that any money we raise goes to those we serve. So it's fun being part of this organization. You know, we do good work. And it's really an honor to work with our military who has sacrificed so much and gives so much, and the families who give so much, that you always get more than you give.
Terry, was this your first contact with Marines and the Marine Corps moving to Southern California? Did you have any other connection, be it your family or anybody else?
This was my first experience working with the Marine Corps. My dad was in World War II. That was probably his greatest achievement, was being a soldier in World War II. I didn't understand it at the time, though he would say all of the time how important that service was to him. And in fact, my dad had dementia, and so for 10 years, his memories dwindled, whereas he didn't even know who I was, but his last words were really that I was a soldier in World War II. And later, you know, as I got involved with our Marines, I understood so much better where my father's pride came from and why that was his greatest accomplishment in his life. And I think I've been paying it back, you know, not fully understanding it in my dad's lifetime. And my involvement with our Marines, sailors, our wounded, and their families today is kind of a much deeper understanding of the support needed for these people who are giving so much, you know, for our country, for our freedom. And makes me feel good thinking about my dad while I do it.
Where did your dad fight?
He was actually in England.
Okay.
For 2 years, and told the story frequently of he was married to my mom for 7 months and then went to England for 2 years. And, you know, that sacrifice of 2 years abroad with and then came home 2 years later to his new bride, so to speak.
Wow.
So he was in the Signal Corps and an officer. And so anyway, it the military was not something I knew a lot about and
right.
was too young at the time to really comprehend it. But do much, much more now, of course, through my work with our Marines.
It's been interesting, as somebody who's been a member of the 5th Marine Regiment on a few different occasions. There was a time in San Clemente, having lived there when I was part of 1-5, in the early 80s, we were not the most welcomed group in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that has changed. It's 180 degrees. And a lot of it certainly has to do with the fighting that's gone on. And San Clemente and Dana Point and our kind of our southern Orange County area has seen a lot of funerals. They've seen a lot of guys, a lot of wounded guys. And I don't know that there's anybody who's lived down there that hasn't been touched visually, been touched personally in terms of knowing somebody or a family by the cost of the war. Talk about that, because I think that's one of the things that's so moving is how moved people have been by the courage and selflessness that they've seen, and then as they've gotten to know and to volunteer a little bit and got closer to it, the continuing sacrifice, courage, and selflessness that you see, and as you mentioned, not just from Marines, but from their wives and from their families. That has to be, as you reflect on your own father's experience, and it has to be something. And then what you do professionally has to have been a very interesting experience for you.
It has been. I guess I will also add that, you know, our Vietnam veterans who were terribly shunned when they came home, I think that things have changed so much since then. And our our best supporters are really those Vietnam vets, Korean War vets, those who came home without a reception and no acknowledgement, vowing to never allow that to happen again. So it's a kind of a combination of, you know, this most current 13, 14 years of war and what we all have seen, but also those who have come before who have said, we won't let you turn your back on those who are giving so much. And it's really raised the consciousness and raised the awareness of especially people here in Southern California, so close to the base. But it's also made our nation more patriotic since 9/11, I think, pulling together and understanding that others were doing the heavy lifting for those of us who are home and living the freedoms that the others are fighting for. So, and you're right, it's been so difficult for us to be working with these units with all of the casualties in Iraq and Afghanistan and beyond. And, you know, it's just hard to even put into words what that feels like when there's a loss, you know, not just of someone we know, but someone in our Marine family, or Army or Marine families. And if we can do something to ease some of the pain and support those families while their loved ones are in country, it's really an honor to be part of that process. And we have pulled together a pretty large brigade of volunteers who want to be part of that, and a lot of supporters who want to contribute. It's pretty astounding. People have said to us, oh, it's, you know, how do you continue to fundraise when, you know, if there's not a war going on? And we tell them there is still a war going on. But the Marines are, it's really striking, you know, but people are not informed, but people are still fighting. People are still dying and people are still training, to be there when the nation calls. And our 5th Marines are the 911 responders, emergency responders, and they are ready to answer the call, and they deserve all of the support and all of the backing that a nation can provide, no matter what your stance on the war is. And so we're just honored to be part of that process. And tomorrow, your listeners may be aware, we're having a dedication of a Purple Heart Memorial Monument at the 5th Mar Memorial Park. And our Colonel Ken Kastner is a twice wounded warrior, and this was his vision and something very important to him before he changed command, which will be on March 3rd, to have a monument in the 5th Marine Memorial Park. And so we're truly, truly humbled and honored to have been part of a process of fabricating a monument and dedicating it tomorrow to all those who were wounded and killed in action. And these monuments in this 5th Marine Memorial Park, and they, we did an Operation Enduring Freedom, an Operation Iraqi Freedom Monument. There's several other monuments in this memorial park that we've helped develop. And at any time of day, you can see, family members or Marine brothers coming by, leaving, you know, bottles or ribbons or cigarettes or coins or any kind of memorabilia, just remembering the names of their brothers on these monuments. So part of our mission is also to honor those who are no longer with us, and it just keeps us present to the sacrifice that goes on and the mission that continues.
You know, part of the... we have our own unique way of remembering our friends, and it's certainly not like everybody else remembers their friends. If you were to see it, but it's ours, and it's our own way.
Yeah.
And those memorials are absolutely beautiful. Tell me about the Purple Heart Memorial. I mean, the other ones, the OIF, the OEF ones have names on them.
Yes.
It's pretty sobering, you know, when you've been there at those times, and You know, you can look down at the names and remember those incidences and places and but it's a beautiful little park right in the regimental area of San Mateo. Tell me about the Purple Heart monument. What is it? Does it have names on it, or is it simply a memorial to those who received the Purple Heart?
It does not have names on it. It is just a tribute to all Marines and those wounded and killed in action. All of the battalion logos are on the monument.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, gosh, the untold names. Right. I don't know that we could ever recover them.
I was going to say, that's a big monument. It started doing that for the 5th Marine Regiment.
But it has a beautifully etched, inlaid, ceramic picture of George Washington, you know, which is about the time that this award started being given.
Right.
And, you know, I have not actually seen it yet. It's been covered. So I just can't wait to see it having come to fruition and know that there will be an enduring tribute in the park for all. And I think it's going to be just amazing. Now, I will also say that next year, this time, there will be a dedication of a Vietnam Memorial monument. I won't take a lot of time now. We can talk about it again later, another time perhaps. But all 2,706 names will be on this wall. We're waiting for approval, you know, from the Marine Corps. That will be an amazing addition to the park also.
You know, I will tell you what. You know, whenever I've gone to speak, the one thing I always ask is, are there any Vietnam veterans present? And it's, you know, it's a chance to ask them to stand up if they will. If they don't care to, that's
mm-hmm.
fine. But just to thank them on behalf of everybody who served today, thank you for what you went through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've lost 7,000 approximately. You lost 58,000. And you came home to a nation
mm-hmm.
that didn't want to deal with you. There was no PTSD diagnosis. Post-combat related mental health
right.
wasn't something that was discussed. And into that, you walked home. And so on behalf of all of us, thank you. And so
mm-hmm.
that monument with those names, you know, for guys who were and women that were part of the 5th Marine Regiment, to me is something that I think current veterans would love to be a part of. So I'd love to help you tell the story and blab it all over the place so we can get a great turnout, because it's we who need to thank them for everything
exactly.
they've done, because what we get today in terms of mental health care and all kinds of other stuff is because of what they went through. And I will tell you that nobody has ever accosted me in uniform or otherwise relative to my participation in the war. I think the nation certainly grew up after Vietnam in terms of, you know, there's people we should hold accountable if we don't like the idea, but our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines that go over there and fight
mm-hmm.
are not in that group. So, no, first of all, congratulations on doing that. I think it's absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If your listeners would like to learn more, they can also go to our website, which I'll quickly sneak in, which is
sure.
www.danapoint5thmarines.com, and find out more. But I think the monuments are important to remember those who have come before, and we cannot say thank you enough. And I think it's this park is really a jewel at Camp Pendleton. And, you know, I think for people to come by and see this special place, now many ceremonies are held there, many promotions and other kinds of things. But it's really a special place, you know, for the losses that our 5th Marines, it's just symbolic of the greater military, really, but just for our 5th Marines, you know, who have lost. Brothers.
And I'll tell you what, it's a very cool place. I know I was there when 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines got together a year or so ago. It'll probably be a couple of years now. And you know, I was in Ramadi when they were there and have a lot of
mm-hmm.
friends that were in 2-4. And it's now a special place. And I know the other regiments have all either built them or are contemplating building them. And the I think the 5th Marine Regiment Park is a little bit of the gold standard. So it's an awesome place, a special place. Let's talk about the reason I had Terry Rifkin on today. She's by the way the president of the Dana Point 5th Marine Regiment Support Group. Is to talk about the work they're doing relative to the Wounded Warrior trials that are upcoming. So now that we've got the preliminaries out of the way, Terry, tell us, first of all, what are you guys doing and how can we help?
Okay. Well, the Wounded Warrior trials at Camp Pendleton are starting March 9th through 15th, and approximately 370 warriors from around the world who have been either combat ill or injured are coming to compete in different kind of things like archery, swimming, track and field, biking, cycling. And it's an amazing, amazing time, opportunity for our warriors to remember that they are athletes as well. And it's a huge part of their recovery to still compete. And so we are going to be providing meals for three different events. We're going to be providing approximately $10,000 worth of meals for the 370 warriors, snacks, et cetera. So, you know, we appreciate any support, again, at our website, www.danapointfifthmarines.com. But it's an opportunity also to volunteer and be part of helping the Marines if they need, the athletes, if they need any help with their equipment, as well as providing lunch and serving lunch. So, again, I think that athletics are an important part, and competition is an important part of recovery. And you will see, you know, wheelchair basketball or seated volleyball, and you will be struck by the grit and the determination and the courage of these athletes who, despite extreme, in some cases very extreme disabilities, to be there and to try so hard to be able to remember what it felt like to be an athlete. And it's an amazing opportunity to be present and to be part of that.
So how can we help? Do you just need monetary donations?
Monetary donations. We also are asking for volunteers, and we will be posting that on our website shortly for volunteers. Because, as I said, we'll be serving and also helping with the athletes. So our Facebook page, Dana Point 5th Marines, Dana Point 5th Marine Regiment Support Group, and also our website are good places to find out more information about when we will be there and how they can help.
All right.
But it is a remarkable opportunity even just to attend.
Okay. So, you know, I was there last year with, I have a 13-year-old daughter. And let's see, her oldest brother is a captain and he's teaching at the basic school, and her youngest brother wasn't there yet, but he's at 3-5 now. But it was, you know, when you're a Marine family, and I think it's important that, you know, you do take your family out and you do volunteer at events like this, because you have very, very interesting conversations. And I can tell you that they first started with my oldest kids, taking them to volunteer around the community and asking questions. And I'll never forget, we volunteered at Special Olympics. And the ride home, the questions that my sons asked, like, well, why this, Dad? Why that? Will they get better? Will they, you know? And it was an incredible broadening experience for my kids. And it's affected their the way they've lived their life. And what's really interesting is the lesson that they learned was, hey, they just want to be treated like anybody else. They don't want to be treated special. They just want to be treated like anybody else. And so anybody who has challenges in their lives, and our certainly our warriors do, they have challenges. But what they want you to do is come down and enjoy yourself, come over and say hi, and meet them, and enjoy yourself. That's what they want most. And the 5th Marine Regiment Support Group does a great job in terms of supporting this and making that happen. Because I will tell you what, it's great competition and it's a good time. So if you're at all inclined, come on down. First, tell everybody What days and where do they find the schedule and all that? Will you guys have links to the schedule for the events on your website?
Yes, the schedule is on our website, and again, www.danapointfifthmarines.com, and the entire schedule is posted of all of the events. And again, it's also an opportunity to thank those who are competing for their service, and it also makes you kind of go home and say to yourself, I guess what I was struggling with today wasn't so bad, you know, because it changes your how you calibrate what a bad day is, you know, in terms of kind of rethinking and reappreciating, you know, where you are. And I think it is a good time, as you say, and I think it is a great education for people to bring their kids so they have a different vantage point of those sacrifices made and that life is continuing.
My guest is Terry Rifkin. She's the president of the Dana Point 5th Marine Regiment Support Group. We've been talking about a couple things that they've been doing, but the primary purpose to bring her on today was to talk about their support of the Wounded Warrior Trials coming up. You can get that information at their website. And, again, that website is www.danapointfifthmarines.com. And it's a good-looking website, I have to tell you, though, Terry. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
No, in fact, I'm looking at a picture of two friends of mine, Roger Turner and John Kelly, who are both close friends of mine. Turner was one of my students, and Kelly was.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, Kelly was. He was amazing.
Well, he knows who Kelly is now.
Yeah,
and that's me in that picture you're looking at.
Oh, too. Really? Well, that's
that was the dedication of the Operation Enduring Freedom Monument, and what an honor to walk down the aisle with General Kelly, whose son died in the 1/5.
Yeah. 3/5. Three five.
Oh, excuse me, 3/5. You're right.
They would get up, just so you know. They would get. I don't really care because I'm a 1/5 guy, and we'd be happy to have Robert. But the 3/5 guys get a little bit uptight about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. No, I was honoring a friend of mine, Trevor Urista, who died, and he, you know, I was touching that part of the monument, and General Kelly was touching where his son Robert Kelly died, and with now General Turner. So it was an incredible moment of my life, really, to be part of that process.
No, they're great guys.
Yeah.
Great guys.
So, we would love people to look at our website and just kind of see the different kinds of things we're doing. And there are a lot of very good support organizations who are all joining hands. It takes us all, you know, to support, you know, our military and our Marines here close to Camp Pendleton. A lot of the cities around here have adopted different battalions and regiments. So I appreciate them all.
No. Well, let me tell you, I speak for a lot of Marines I know and sailors and family members who say it's pretty touching when, you know, one of the other things I talk about when I do go speak is, I ask people, put your hand up if you sent something to Iraq or Afghanistan, especially with school kids, and just about every hand goes up. And I tell them, I said, you know, you don't really have any idea what's happened to us on the day when that package comes through the door. I said, some days are really difficult. And when those things come through the door, what we all know is that that's our country reaching around the planet, right, and telling us that they care about us, and they love us. And I said, and I don't, you can't know how important that is. We do, though. And so, in case nobody's ever said thank you to you because you're not supposed to put your name, you know, and your address in there, thank you, because all that stuff is so important to us in terms of sustaining ourselves. Not only the first time, but the second, third, and fourth time that you go, and a lot of those guys have done that. So, Terry, on behalf of a lot of people, thank you for all the stuff you've sent and for all the stuff you've organized and done, and thank you for this visit. And we will make sure that we have you back on as you guys get closer to this event, and give everybody the website one more time.
www.danapointfifthmarines.com. And it's been an honor to be with you. Thank you for asking me to share about our organization. I'm always happy to do that.
No, you guys have a great one.
Thank you for your service, too, Mike. Really appreciate it.
No, it's a privilege.
It's an honor to talk to you.
It's a privilege. You've seen what I get the chance to work with. And I tell people, I said, see that kid? He calls me sir in this organization. And it's just, when you see their courage and selflessness in combat, it's not hard to get enthusiastic or motivated to help them, because it's just Marines aren't like everybody else. They're different, beautiful, wonderful, troublemaking people, and and we love them. And but you never are so happy that you join the Marine Corps until you go fight, and then it's just to watch them in action. It's just incredible. And then, but again, the people like you that don't forget us, it's just so important because of those days that are difficult. And so, again, thank you for everything. And if there's ever anything I can do, anytime you have something going on, Terry, please don't hesitate. Make sure you shoot me an email. I'd love to have you back on, and make sure everybody knows what you're doing, because you have a great organization. And
you all of us shoulder to shoulder, really, that gets the job done. We appreciate that you're putting the word out, too.
Not a problem. That is Terry Rifkin. She's the president of the Dana Point 5th Marine Regiment Support Group. And we'll continue with All Marine Radio, coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I still have nightmares.
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Listen up, employers. Veterans can be a great asset to your company or organization. Veterans have gained skills in leadership, teamwork, and performance under pressure. Veterans have received the very best training in their fields and are never afraid to tackle a tough situation to accomplish the mission. If you are looking to hire a veteran, the Department of Labor can help you make it happen. You hire a veteran today, you won't be sorry.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development, and how do I translate that so somebody can see that value. And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
On Veterans Day, the nation honors the men and women who risk their lives to protect our freedom. Social Security does its absolute best to honor veterans and active duty members of the military every day by giving them the respect they deserve. For those who return home with injuries, Social Security is a resource they can turn to. If you know any wounded veterans, please let them know about Social Security's Wounded Warriors website. The Wounded Warriors website answers many commonly asked questions and shares other useful information about disability benefits, including how veterans can receive expedited processing of disability claims. Learn more by visiting www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors.
For America's wounded warriors, sometimes coming home can be a battle in itself. Every one of them needs our support to meet the challenges they face every day. The USO provides Americans a way to offer that support to our wounded warriors and their families. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in their lives by donating today. The USO.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Forty-six here on a Wednesday, hump day. And, you know, I'm still a little bit speechless after the interview with Colonel Barnum. Wow. What an incredible career. The men he talked about that he served with. So he's a lieutenant captain. He wins a Medal of Honor. Talk about guys like Lew Walt. Let me just read, if you will, let me just read a little bit about, you know, let me read Lew Walt, all right? This is Lew Walt, who Colonel Barnum talks about, you know, was instrumental, I think was division commander. All right. Buried in Quantico National Cemetery, by the way. He joins the Colorado National Guard in 1930, serves in the Colorado National Guard for 6 years. Joins the Marine Corps in 1936, serves until 1971. His commands, 2535, 5th Marine Regiment, the Basic School, 3rd Marine Division, Assistant Commandant of the Marine Corps. Battles. Tulagi, which is Guadalcanal, the Battle of Guadalcanal, Cape Gloucester, which is absolutely horrible. For those of you who know anything about Marine Corps history, I think they were submerged the entire time. The Korean War, the Vietnam War, Navy Cross times two, Distinguished Service Medal times two, Silver Star Medal, Legion of Merit with Combat V, Bronze Star with Combat V. So, and that is Lew Walt. Amazing, amazing career. All right. Ray Davis. His career all right, is absolutely incredible. And they mentioned Gerald Barrow, too. These guys were all in Vietnam when he's a lieutenant captain, right? So this is Ray Davis, Guadalcanal, Cape Gloucester, and then Peleliu, Incheon and the Chosin Reservoir, and then in Vietnam, Operation Dewey Canyon. Awards, Medal of Honor, Navy Cross, Navy Distinguished Service Medal times 2, Silver Star times 2, Legion of Merit times 2 with Combat V, Bronze Star Medal with Combat V, Purple Heart, Vietnamese Cross of Gallantry. That's his commands. 1-1, 1-7, 3rd Marine Division in Vietnam, and McSittick in later years. And just, he mentioned General Barrow. The pantheon of great leaders in the Marine Corps. General Barrow. And he said none of them raised their voice. World War II. He served in China. He was an advisor to Chinese insurgents fighting the Japanese. Korean War, Battle of Incheon, Second Battle of Seoul, and at the Chosin Reservoir, Vietnam, at Dewey Canyon. Awards, Navy Cross, Distinguished Service Cross, Defense Distinguished Service Medal, Navy Distinguished Service Medal, Army Distinguished Service Medal, Silver Star, Legion of Merit, 3 of them with Combat Vs, Bronze Star, 2 of them with Combat Vs. Right? Hello? So he's talking, these are the guys he meets. These are the guys he meets and he gets advice from and gets to know over the course of his career. And so, again, first of all, let me thank Bob Nielsen, who's the one that told me, hey, do you know Barney Barnum? I said, I know of him. I've never met him. And he said, well, look, I've got to know him through our time at Walter Reed and Bethesda together. He said, he's a great guy, Mac. You need to have him on your show. And his story is incredible, absolutely incredible. So Nielsen, who's a great friend of All Marine Radio. In fact, let me say this. We have no better friend at All Marine Radio than Bob Nielsen. And he instrumental. Today is Nielsen Day on All Marine Radio. So my thanks to him for setting that whole thing up. And then, and the other thing that helps us do is it creates credibility, with us because when guys like Colonel Barnum come on and in the middle of the interview say, hey, just so you know, I'll stay here as long as you want. I'm having a great time. To me, that's one of the visions of All Marine Radio in terms of, it's our cultural place. Okay, and that's why All Veteran Radio doesn't resonate with me. We are peculiar, each branch of the services. And Marines know Colonel Barnum. And we want to hear him talk about being a Marine and whatnot. I don't know that everybody else does. I mean, I'm sure some veterans do. And we exclude nobody. But our culture is unique, and we enjoy speaking of it. And so... So it's All Marine Radio hitting it on the screws today with the help of other Marines, Nielsen in particular, to do that. But, what an incredible story. And then to get to go back, because that was not in the cards. If you're a Medal of Honor recipient, you're essentially put on the shelf. Because that is not a headline that the United States, that the Department of Defense wants to see, that, John Bazelone killed on Iwo Jima, Medal of Honor winner on Guadalcanal, killed on Iwo Jima. Not something that anybody wants to read about. So as a lieutenant goes and becomes the aide for General Walt and Walt tells him if you can survive the year, you can go anywhere you want. And wants to go back to Vietnam. And there, again, he crossed paths with General Davis, General Barrow, at about the time that Major Jarvis Lynch was there at the time, too. So General Lynch, a little bit senior to Colonel Barnum. And so interesting the different ways that these people intersect here on in their lives, and we get to be kind of a witness to it here on All Marine Radio. So again, I can't say thank you enough. The other thing I want to talk about is Terry Rifkin was on, and just what a great job that the Dana Point 5th Marine Regiment Support Group does. And you know, they really stood up during the last 15 years. And have been instrumental in letting Marines know that, hey, you're special people, we appreciate you. And I will tell you what, when I lived in San Clemente and I just got married, I deployed and then came home and we lived in San Clemente. The San Clemente didn't like Marines, as a lot of places didn't like. Oceanside didn't like Marines, and for a lot of good reasons. Marines did a lot of stupid stuff. That's changed, and you see. There's a monument down by the pier of a Marine, a statue, and then on a wall there's placards for different commemorating different some people, some events, and so it's a Marine saluting, looking out towards the Pacific, and so it's a different place, and a lot of it has to do with the work of people like. Terry Rifkin and that group at Dana Point that I went to their Marine Corps birthday dinner this last year, and just an awesome event with great people, and so it was very, very, very wonderful to be around them. And so they're looking for help relative to the Wounded Warrior Games coming up on the coming up here in March. So if you are so inclined, by all means. Get in there and do it. Help them out. You can send money. Maybe you can donate time, to contact them and get after it. So interesting stuff. Let me tell you what we're going to do tomorrow. I was contacted a couple weeks ago, by a former Marine that said, "Hey, Mac, I'd love to come on your show and talk about what we do." And his name's Michael Bassett, so he's going to be on tomorrow, and we're going to talk about a program that he's involved with, and it's a physical therapy program, and how they help in this fight for post-combat related mental health. So, and it's been a theme. Of the program, as the program's kind of evolved since we started doing it in June. Post-traumatic growth. You heard Colonel Barnum talk about, you know, what he lived through. And again, I mean, just the story he tells. He's the forward observer on loan from Marine Barracks Pearl Harbor for a couple months. They're in a, from listening to it, looks to be a battalion movement to contact. They're in the tail end of it when they get ambushed, and the whole battalion gets attacked. So they get it from the rear, and then the company commander's killed. He's trying to save him. The company commander dies in his arms. He then goes and gets the body of the radio operator. He takes that radio, and then he keeps his radio operator with them, and then he begins to call in supporting arms. He directs the platoon, directs a company, and they fight their way. They fight their way out of it and destroy the resistance around them, and he repeatedly exposes himself to direct supporting arms. So Barney Barnum here with us today. So it's an incredible story, honestly. And again, I can't say thank you to Nielsen enough for thinking of it and setting it up. So, having said that, my thanks to Bob Nielsen today, first and foremost, for conceiving of the segment. My second thanks to Colonel Barney Barnum for coming on and talking about his career, and much more diverse than simply his Medal of Honor. Much more diverse, finished up as an Undersecretary of the Navy. So not a bad run. Not a bad run. So certainly a treat to have him on today for him to share his thoughts on all the different things he touched on. The Beehive Round. I've heard of that. Never spoken with anybody who's been a part of it. That's like the whole fixed bayonets thing. What? Yeah, could you imagine on the artillery battery? Drop the guns, get the flechette rounds, and then shoot it over the top of Marines at oncoming North Vietnamese soldier. That's some serious shit right there. Wow. No, it's just so cool to be able to have these conversations. And then not only that, but, you know, you can tell he wanted to talk about post-combat related mental health. So my thanks to Colonel Barner for coming on, and hopefully it won't be the last time you hear from him. And then finally, the website is www.danapointfifthmarines.com. And 5th Marines is with the number 5, 5thmarines.com. So www.danapoint, all one word, 5thmarines.com. So you'll find it there. And so my thanks to Terry Rifkin for coming on. And she is the president of the Dana Point 5th Marine Regimental Support Group. And all the best of luck to her. There's a dedication going on for anybody who's in Southern California listening. The Purple Heart Memorial being dedicated at 1 o'clock today at Camp San Mateo at Camp Pendleton. So Dana Point 5th Marine Regiment Support Group, very instrumental in that. So congratulations to all of them. That'll do it. All Marine Radio done on a Wednesday. We'll do Transition Thursday tomorrow. We'll talk about transition. So Mike Bassett going to join us. We'll talk about what he's got going. So my thanks to you all for listening, most of all. Remember, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Tell your friends that All Marine Radio, pretty good deal. Keep up the good work. We'll try. On a Wednesday. Out.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career, and secondly, it helps